number nine. Diamonds in my teeth, I got a lot of shine. Running up the number, that's a lot of crime. Try to take it from me, must be out your mind. I need time, lot of sun. Smokey in the air, that's a lot of pine.
Welcome to episode 388 of Fourth and John. I'm Dale Saunders here with Evan Hollywood Hearn and Primo in the building. Tonight we're talking about the 9-1 Eagles. Look at that record to the right. The Chiefs 7-3. Now, when we went out there, we were totally expecting dubs. We didn't fly that far and through that much turbulence to get L's. Because at the end of the day, we had been preaching this game. This is the game that we all chose to go to. Shout out to Philly Sports Strips for making all that happen. But it was just a great experience to be in the belly of the beast around Chiefs fans who were arrogant with them pumping out their chest like they won a Super Bowl. They did, but we're talking about the present. In the present, where we were sitting there, Prime is – you know, he was holding ground. Like, you know, I'm kind of like focused. Ev is, you know, he's doing his thing. But Prime usually, he holds us down with the shit talking. So he's got a safe, got a perimeter between Prime and the Chiefs fans. But they were talking junk. So we had to hold ground. And there's a point in the game where we knew that the Eagles had to come up with a play. And we were sitting there like, the Eagles got to do something. Eagles got to do something. They got to come up with something big. And all of a sudden, like, again, this song you might hear in our theme song, right? This is like from a generic website where you don't get sued since you have your song here. So this song starts playing in the fourth quarter when the Eagles need a touchdown. We are jacked up. Ev looks over to me.
We had a moment. It's like it was like divine intervention, bro.
Ev's like, it's a sign. And here we go. Here we go. The Eagles come back and score a touchdown. And again, I mean, this gives me a lot to talk about. I mean, but I'm just saying the mood was set. The Eagles held their ground, just like Prime did. And the Eagles are 9-1.
Man, that was such a busy trip, and I'm glad that you ended up bringing up that song, because to be quite honest with you, I forgot about that aspect of it. that slipped my mind, but that was such a crucial part to my mentality at the end of that game. Like you said, hell of a trip. We'll get into all of the, you know, stuff we did outside of the game, the tailgate, all that other stuff in a little bit, but as for the game right now, it was wet, it was sloppy, it was cold. You know, it was that kind of football game that the elements get involved in. And we were up there in the stands, you know, bearing through the weather, and it was sloppy across the board. Then that in the fourth quarter, when that song comes on, bro, it was one of those things that nobody else in the stadium knew, but we all just locked in and we were like, we're going to win this fucking game. We were down at that point. And I also want to give a shout out to my man that was sitting next to Prime. There was an older gentleman that traveled with Philly Sports Trips. Very nice man. Slipping his name at the moment. But he was sitting next to us. And I'm not going to lie, the Fourth and John boys, we were feeling pretty down at one point in the game. At the end of the third quarter, you know, the Chiefs seemed to be having their way with us, kind of marching their way up the field. We hadn't had the lead at any point in the game at that point. And we were kind of feeling like things were swinging in the wrong direction. And then the gentleman that was sitting next to Prime said, as soon as the fourth quarter started, he's like, hey, stand up. He's like, you know what? The Eagles are a fourth quarter team. We're going to come back and win this. And we all looked at each other. He's like, he's right. We are a fourth quarter team. And that's when that song came on. And then from that moment on, I was like, we're winning this game, man. I don't care what happens. We're winning this game. And I remember, you know, it got hairy even towards the end of that with Pat Mahomes having a last chance effort on that last drive. And but I stepped on. I actually didn't have an ounce of worry in my chest. I kept on grabbing Prime and Gale, just being like, they played our song. They played our song. We're not losing this game. They played our song.
Just for the record, that song, we've been in stadiums for...
I've never heard it one time.
Years. This song has never been played in the stadium.
Yeah, that's the first time I've ever heard it outside of the intro of our podcast. It's the first time I ever heard that song.
Yeah, it was definitely a moment, man. And I apologize ahead of time because my voice is like gone with all the screaming and everything.
Yeah, we thank you for your service that you did out there.
But yeah, it was a great time. A big shout out to Philly Sports for making everything possible, man. Vince came through big time, and I'm glad we were there to go ahead and experience. A big shout out to Kansas City, just the city in general, man. The hospitality there was just tremendous. I know we're going to talk a little bit more about it later on in the show, but it was a great time all around. The vibes were good. Tailgate went good. Yeah, like Gail mentioned, the shit talking, it really wasn't a lot of shit talking that led up to the game. It was just that day. And then, you know, like you said, bro, I held my ground. You know, this is what I do. When I'm at the games, I like to talk shit, or I look for that one person that is already running their mouth, and I pretty much point them out. And I'm like, yeah, I'm going to make
the pigeon, if you will.
Yeah, like you're going to be my bitch tonight, you know what I mean? So, yeah, a couple of gentlemen that were sitting behind us that were from Canada, you know, I asked them, how did you guys become Kansas City fans? And, you know, the guy explained to me there was a way that he wanted to go ahead and get into football. And then after that, he was like, I like Priest Holmes. I like Alex Smith. He started mentioning players. He was like, yep, that's the team I'm going to go ahead and go with. I respect that. Okay, no problem. So, you know what I mean? He came right along at the right time, I guess, and things went well for him. So, regardless, he was there. His lady was talking shit, too. You know what I mean? You guys heard it. You guys were with me. It was, like, ongoing. But, yeah, it was a back-and-forth thing. Like you said, the game was they pretty much owned us for the first three quarters. Mm-hmm. First three quarters, they were, like, giving it to us. Things weren't going well for us. The offensive line couldn't hold their defensive players. Didn't feel like anything was going to get going. Went into the second half. We were talking about, all we just got to do is just make adjustments. And, you know, the defense definitely made their adjustments. And for the defense to make their adjustments, that gave the offense the opportunity to go ahead and do what they needed to do. They came in clutch. Again, big shout out to that gentleman that I was sitting next to. I can't think of his name right now, neither. I can't really remember it, but that man had me amped up. He was like, look, we're a fourth quarter team. Stand up. We're going to go ahead and be fine. And even at one point, he sat down and I picked him up and I said, no, sir. You told me to stand up. You told me we were going to be a fourth quarter team. I need you to stand up with me and I need you to ride this thing out with me. And he did. He said, you're right. You know what? You are right. And he got up, stood with me. And, you know, I mean, the rest was history. Like, you know, we pulled off that W. We were there. All of us were standing up, watching this thing go all the way through. Regardless, yes, that play was there for Mahomes and his receiver to go ahead and make. Luckily, it didn't happen. It's part of the game. Drops happened.
They played the song.
And you're right. They played the song. A main drop happened. It's a drop that they're talking about to this day. Well, to this moment. You know what I mean? And not just them. Other people, other receivers in the league are talking about the drop. Like, it's part of the NFL. A lot of like, oh, you guys are lucky. Had he made that catch? Well, you know what? There's nothing to talk about because he didn't make that catch. All right. It is what it is. And we countered. We overcame, you know, that play. And, you know, we held it down. 4th and 25 came through. Another opportunity for them to go ahead and get that first down. It didn't happen. We sealed the win. And look, now we're here talking about it and we're excited. So I feel great, man.
And I just got a quick thing to say to all the people that are out there talking about how lucky we are that the law firm ended up dropping that ball. I mean, it was a point that I am not making, but I saw online earlier today. I thought it was excellent. Was anybody calling Pat Mahomes and the Chiefs lucky when Quez Watkins dropped the ball in the Super Bowl? Or is it just lucky when it happens against us?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's just keep it 100.
There were other couple of plays that they were talking about we were lucky on, like the fumble, Kelsey. I mean that was
which also play. Like they talk you to call that play luck, that was a perfectly executed play by Bradley Roby. That was a peanut punch, bro. That is something that you practice in training camp and practice the whole year to work on for that exact moment when you have an opportunity to punch the ball out and get the ball.
I want to hat tip Howie Roseman at this point for bringing in two key veterans when we knew we needed them. Like we said, we how many guys were in the slot working over the last couple of weeks? We had like 8 different guys in the slot. You got a guy, Bradley Roby, coming off injury. We needed him. We needed him. Obviously, you know, he gave up the play, was you know, got burned on that MVS play. But hey, but he came up with a big play and punched that ball out. Like Evan said, the Peanut Tillman. If y'all younger guys don't know who Peanut Tillman is, check out his highlights of punching the ball out. I think the creativity of Desai. Let's talk about the Desai effect. With his ability, we talked about CeeDee Lamb, what they did with CeeDee Lamb. He was kind of doing his thing. I didn't think they paid enough attention to him the last couple weeks ago. But I think with Travis Kelce, the things that they were creative things they were doing, they were double teaming him with Byard and Blankenship. They were faking the double teams with Cunningham and one of the safeties. So they were in the head of Mahomes. I thought they did a great job holding. You know, he got his one touchdown, but they only had 44 yards on the day. Obviously, Taylor Swift not being there could have you know, that could have been the Eagle fan in her, guys.
Could have been
big picture.
I'm still thinking that. I just think that's coincidental. The stats with her being there and or not being there. But you know, he did fumble the ball, so I'm not discounting anything.
He's just got to shake it off, you know.
Yeah, I don't give a shit whether she was there or not. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, I'm with you, Evan. I think all that hype about the fact that they got a winning record when she's in the stadium.
He was a Hall of Famer before she showed up. Like, did people forget about that?
Man. Like, my man was doing his thing way before she came into the picture. You know what I mean? Not taking anything away from it, but. Stop! Like, they're really reaching with that.
On the way out, I heard a Chiefs fan. She's like, you know what? He's got to get rid of that Taylor Swift. I'm tired of her. I think he. And then this other the husband's like, I think Travis going Hollywood. I say he's got to get rid of that girl. And I was, it was like, they're an older couple, and I was like,
they had their accent, they had their southern accent, right? Yeah.
Oh, let me tell you. Besides, you know, watching the Chiefs fans walk out of there frowning, nothing made my heart melt other than the KC barbecue. It is one of the best places to get barbecue. I think we're all overwhelmed by the love for the barbecue. I think I'm a change person. I told Evan Prime, I said, I don't know how I'm going to eat breakfast again and eat the bacon that we get versus their bacon. I don't know. The brisket, I don't know about the everything.
It was all good, man. We ate like kings out there in KC, and a special thank you to Vince. You know, we also joined in on the on a nice dinner with him, Seth Joyner, H-Town, who was not in attendance tonight. But we went out there to a steakhouse. That food was delicious. We were slow motion spinning our wine. This video is coming out soon. But first of all, I also want to throw out there that apparently we all found out about each other that we all like and enjoy wine. Now, Gail was looking at me, calling me a fake wine guy. I never seen you drink wine your entire life. Like, I drank it on this very show, Gail. I don't know what to tell you.
We never see the bougie part of it. You know, we didn't see it in a glass.
Ev was like,
we didn't see Ev, you spinning. You might have just been sipping on it. Yeah, we didn't see all that. That was the part that came out. That was the part that Evan was hiding. You know what I mean? He had a little bouginess in him. And you know what I mean? He's standing there. He's like twirling the glass. And me and Gail are looking at him like, where the fuck is this been at? Like, I've never seen this.
It was delicious. All the food out there was delicious. I will say, though, I got home. I was barbecued out, man. Like, I've had enough barbecue sauce for a few months. Like,
I got offered.
Food is killer. The food out in KC is killer, but it's all the same stuff.
I got offered barbecue sauce today that I couldn't take.
Yeah, exactly. I came home. I was like, I'm just craving some Northeast pizza. I don't really care where it's from, man. I just want some Northeast pizza.
I really don't. I think I want a salad, actually. Salads are good. Sounds good, but you know, let's get into a little bit of about the game. I know there's a whole bunch of this trip that there's so much. Like, we got the happy birthday to Seth Joyner. We were at his dinner.
Yeah,
that was cool. And then we met Corel Buckholzer at the tailgate. There's a lot of stuff going on here. A lot of stuff to talk about, but let's get into it real quick. Let's go with our offensive MVP from this big performance. Devontae Smith?
Yeah, Devontae.
How about DeAndre Swift?
I could get down with the Swifty
combo.
I think it's either it's one of the two. Yeah, it's one of the two. Jalen Hurts, he played well on the ground. It was a sloppy game, man. And I think that you could even end up giving him the offensive MVP if you really wanted to. I think that he willed this team to win. I don't think we would have been able to do it without him. But it wasn't his best game by any means. But I'm not holding it against him. That was a very tough defense in KC. And it was really sloppy conditions to be playing in. And the fact that, you know, Pat Mahomes was putting up with the same stuff. He was going up against a good defense and sloppy conditions. And Jalen Hurts came out on top. So, you know,
I think Jalen him as well. Jalen made some big plays with his legs. You know, he went that play where he called an audible and Kelsey's like, no, bro. But, you know, I think, you know, the slot fade that he threw to Smith, I think, did he call that one off too?
I think he audibled into that. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think at times, like, again, like the game is played in four quarters and the fact that they don't give up, again, like Swift on the ground, not giving up, the guy, you know, I thought he was tremendous. I was on the Arrow Addicts podcast for the Chiefs fan side podcast. And they asked me for my X factors. And it was DeAndre Swift and Devontae Smith. And I felt like those two players, when you saw the bracket over A.J. Brown pretty much the whole game, no Dallas Goedert, Devontae Smith had to come up with a big play. And I think the smooth criminal, as Tim Perkins says, I think that bro showed up.
Yeah. No,
I'm all about giving it to both of them as well. You know what I mean? You got DeAndre Swift with 12 attempts, 76 yards. And then three receptions for 31 yards. So he played a key factor in that offense on getting that victory. Then Devontae Smith, I mean, 8 targets, 6 receptions out of that, 99 yards. 41 was the longest. You saw that bomb. That play was tremendous. I mean, the fact that Jalen put it at the right spot and Devontae, you know, I mean, was eyeing it all the way down and caught it at the right, you know, at the right spot. And then it's like one of the comments I've just seen in here. They sealed the deal with the tush push. They killed it. They kind of like just ripped their heart out with that tush push, and that's what we wanted. We wanted to see that play, and I'm glad we got to see it right on the goal line. And I mean, they just drove it right in. So it was them two really playing a key factor in that offense that, you know, helped us get that W.
I just wanted to say, while we're on the topic of the tush push, two things. The fans in the stadium, I always like, ever since we've been the masters of the tush push, I like to gauge the crowd and figure out what their thoughts are on the tush push, because obviously there's a lot of people around the league that have been vying for it to be shut down all year. I'll give KC the props. Their fans were like, you know what? I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I think you guys just perfected it. Like, there's nothing we can do about it. You just got to – I was like, you know what? I give you guys respect for that. And in that same note, did you see who else changed their opinion on canceling the tush push?
Who's this?
One Mr. Chris Sims. Chris Sims has flipped the script. He's now pro tush push and says, you know, you got to figure out a way to stop it.
I hate that guy.
A broken clock is right twice a day.
Hey, and I don't normally hate anyone, but I just feel like he's playing up to this persona now, and it's getting old. It's getting old. Mm-hmm. Joe says weed and wine go great together.
Can't confirm.
But Blue Meanie says happy Thanksgiving, folks. It is pre-Thanksgiving. Obviously, stay safe out there, because this is the biggest party night of the year.
This is the night that changed my life.
Just make sure that you get a driver.
And like, if you've been partying like we've been partying, you're going to be staying home tonight and relaxing and take a chill pill. Take a chill pill. Let's move on to the defensive MVP. Now,
I can tell you who it would have been had he pulled off the play, bro.
My defensive MVP is Sean Desai. Yeah, okay. Even though he's not on the field. I think what he's doing right now is phenomenal. You talk about the Dallas Cowboys, 6 points in the second half. You talk about the Chiefs, 0 points in the second half. That is the Sean Desai effect, man. I think I do have to just give him a hat tip, man. If I'm gonna have to, you're gonna force me somebody out, maybe. I thought Hassan was pretty.
We weren't forced. Pretty intense. You were allowed to use Desai.
Okay, we'll go Desai.
It's not a bad pick, man. I mean, shit, I like it because we said it. We when we walked out of that, when we walked out to the to the hallway to go catch up with a couple of peoples, and you know, we started talking. We were like, yo, all we gotta do is just make adjustments. I hope he's in that locker room, and I hope he's talking to these guys about making adjustments. And, bro, that's what he did. He made a tremendous adjustment to go ahead and keep that team to 0 points, not scoring in that second half, you know, shutting down, you know, their offense. They got some plays off, but then after a while they figured it out, made adjustments, and, you know, we got the third down, fourth down, whatever they were trying to throw at us, and we contained it. So, yeah, Desai, you know, picking Desai is definitely not – a bad thing. My guy, you know, I go with him a lot, and I'm gonna still go with him because I think he played a key factor, and that's Reddick. You know what I mean? Hassan Reddick. You know, he did his thing, bro. He started off the game with a sack, but he was definitely putting some pressure. He started figuring things out, and that played a key factor. And another reason why I'm going to definitely go with him, because I know what play you're talking about, Evan. I know who you're going to go with, and you're absolutely right. Had he pulled that shit off, it would have been the play of the decade. Don't care what anybody would say.
I'm not going to go with Carter for my defensive player of the game. He would have been had he pulled that play off. I think also had he pulled that play off, that would have been instant lock on defensive rookie of the year. I mean, he's already been balling as is, but then you just come out and do a play like nothing has ever been done in the NFL. You lock that shit up, bro. On Pat Mahomes, no less. Before I give my defensive MVP, I just have to say, I just saw Kiki's comment up here talking about worried about us leaving the stadium because Brian's got that big shit talk. So there was two different kinds of people that got onto the bus afterwards. There was me and there was Prime. Me, listen, I had a fun day. But at the end of it, I was wet. I was cold. I was drained. I was still excited that the Eagles won, but I was just fucking in. All right, I'm ready to go home mode. Fucking Prime is sitting next to me for 2 minutes, and he's like, man, fuck this. I want to get out of the bus and keep talking shit. And Brian just gets up and just walks out of the bus and is just harassing people that are passing by for the next 20 minutes. It's like, dude, I don't even have the energy.
Who wants to? Man, listen, we stood there and we were taking it for three quarters. And they had every right.
I don't blame
them. They had every right, you know what I mean? But it was like I was telling the older gentleman next to me, and I was letting him know, listen, until that clock hits zero, all this shit talking don't mean nothing. Because I was watching, you had the one kid. Well, I realized he was a kid after the fact, because I'm watching this individual the whole time. Like, he's crying, talking shit, Sirianni. How much did Sirianni pay the refs off? You know, everything goes the Eagles' way. So I kept my eye on him. Then I kept my eye on a guy that was further down, giving us the finger, and that
was he was the one with the black jacket. I gave him the finger.
Yeah, yeah. I gave him the finger back, you know what I mean? So it was just like, okay. And then the guys behind us, but then there were guys that were like a little bit further up from him that were running their mouth. So I was keeping receipts. Like,
okay. I had to educate the Kansas City fans, bro.
They were sitting there
bragging about, we got two Super Bowls. You got one. I was like, look at the fucking batter. You got three, dude. What are you talking about? Y'all don't even know your own team.
But, you know, at the end of that all, as soon as they brought out that ring, I didn't have no problem, whether if it was a little kid, a middle kid, a teenager, a senior citizen, whatever. Take that ring and shove it so far up your ass. I don't give a fuck about that ring, man. It's about the fact that we pulled that W here in Kansas City that night.
The one guy pulled your arm, just like, hey, man, great game, man. It was a good game. He's trying to, like, pray for Prime. I was like, look, just let him go. You're going to be all right. You just got to get this off.
He's got to get this out of here. No, but for me, my defensive MVP, I'm surprised I haven't seen it in the comment section, because the play this man made was at such a pivotal point in the game. Bradley Roby, man. Bradley Roby punching that ball out on Travis Kelce. I mean, the Chiefs were marching. The Chiefs were in a position to kind of – you know, put it in a position where we weren't really going to be able to come back. That drive was definitely had me nervous. And for Bradley Roby to come up huge, and especially for a guy that just came off the IR, we recently acquired back in October. Dude, that was an enormous play. And, you know, I thought about the Byard interception as well, but I just think of time and place when that peanut punch came. Bradley Roby had one of the clutchest plays of the day, in my opinion.
And what's crazy is, like, during the week he had mentioned, like, look, and I'm not sure if you guys peeped this, but he was like, I'm ready to get back on the field. I didn't come to Philadelphia to get hurt. I came to Philadelphia to show them I could go ahead and play. So I'm looking forward to this weekend and getting back on the field. And look, proof is in the pudding, man. What he did, he was clutch. And, yeah, it was definitely a hell of a play, because I was right along with you. I was like, shit. I can afford to give three here. I can't afford to give seven. Yep. And they had the opportunity to get that seven, but my man came through clutch.
Gave him zero.
Punching that ball out of his hands.
Now you're Eagles unsung hero. Someone low key. I probably have to give that. I'm going to give that to Byard, because I feel like he had a tough task to guard. Travis Kelce, but I think I love the savviness of a veteran player, who, especially safety, who baits a quarterback, because there's a level of, like, playing safety. I did play safety, and there's a level of, like, baiting a quarterback when you know you got the juice to get there, and the fact that he was like he had his assignments, but he was also reading the eyes of Mahomes, and then he's like, go ahead, throw it to your backup tight end. I'm there. I got it. And he Mahomes, who's, you know, all world player, he duped one of the best. So I think I'll give it to Byard.
For me, and you know, I want a certain individual in our comment section to be looking directly in this camera when I say it. Mr. Britton Covey, Mr. has the most 20 plus yard returns out of any punt returner in the NFL this season. How's that sound? Flipping field. What did I say? You end up – that was a defensive battle, that game. That was a sloppy defensive game. If you end up getting good field position, it behooves you. It helps out tremendously. And that's what Britton Covey did in this game. He helped us out huge. He had a few big returns. Didn't get to the end zone, but he put our offense in a great position to be able to score. Go, Britton Covey.
Go on. Talk your shit out.
Yeah, you know what's funny? Gail said he wanted to take a slow-mo video of me sipping the wine. And so I didn't know it was going to be slow-mo. So I just started talking. First thing that came to my mind in this video was, hey, Pete Nathan, put some respect on Britton Covey's name. That's what I'm saying.
and he did mention the name as he was getting this video in. That's for sure.
You want to know when Covey had that big return? I sent Pete Nathan this to his phone.
we saw a guy with the Covey outfit.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if that was a family member or what. I think, but the support is real. Support is real for Covey.
I'm going to go with. I'm going to stay. Sorry, I was actually going to counter with another video, you know, because I got you, Evan. You know, I always got you, bro. But I'm gonna hold on to it. But I'm gonna counter and stay in the special teams. I'm gonna give my unsung hero to Braden Mann, and the reason why is he punted the shit out of that ball and put these guys in a real difficult spot, and we needed it at the right time, especially on that last drive that you know could have given them the opportunity to run down that field and take the lead at the right time. And where he put that ball was perfect. You know what I mean? And it was a great tackle. I don't know who had made the tackle at the time, but a great tackle when he punted that ball. It was just like, as soon as the ball landed, the guy was there to make the tackle. It was clutch. So, you know what I mean? I'm going to say Braden Mann was definitely
that's a good one. That's a good
one. That's punters are people too. But obviously, No,
here we go. Here we go with the receipts here. You know what I mean? Here we go. Yo, so I just want to let everybody know, as we're finding out so much shit about each other, these two, the wine was hitting them so well. I mean, they were feeling great. Gail and Evan, this is like one of the first times I ever seen these guys just feeling so good. You know what I mean? That wine, I mean, it was some serious wine.
Yo, that wine was delicious.
Look at the slow-mo dancing.
I was eating some oysters. I was feeling good about myself. I was like, you know, I had a glass. The food was tremendous. That was probably top five dinner of all times.
Hell yeah. I said that was the best steak.
Mr. Lobster Tail over there. Steak, Mr. Oysters.
I had
mushrooms. I want the mushrooms.
I had a good time. So now for our biggest positives from the Eagles win, it could be anything. Just overall, I just felt like, again, I talked about Desai doing what he did, but I felt like just seeing this team fight through adversity. Obviously, not having Dallas Goedert is a big thing. This offense is gotta get to a point where, how do they live without Goddard for the next couple weeks? You know, they showed, and this is the thing. As much as I get mixed opinions from fans about Brian Johnson, like he added some of the pony personnel looks with Swift in the slot, and we have Boston Scott at running back. You know, the fact that they ran two plays that were like the same thing that you saw inside zone run to Boston Scott. And then they ran the third play out of the motion from Swift in the slot, and they handed it off for a big gain. I mean, those are the kind of plays where we ask for that creativity. Obviously it comes in spurts sometimes. Obviously we want to be hitting on all cylinders, all four quarters, but that's not the true reality in the NFL. And the fact that they just grinded it out and they found a way to win, which good teams do, that's the thing that you got to just hat tip.
Yeah, absolutely. And for me, the biggest positive is kind of like a macro thing. For all the people that out there, that most of you, I'm sure, have seen Breaking Bad. It's been out for over a decade now, so I don't want to hear about spoilers. But there was one point where Walter White is being confronted by his wife about how, you know, aren't you in a dangerous game, blah, blah, blah. And Walter White says, I am the danger. I am the one who knocks. And that's exactly how I feel. We've been talking about this gauntlet all year long, about how we got to go up against this tough stretch of teams, blah, blah, blah. We are the gauntlet. We are the gauntlet of the NFL, bro. They got to come through us. We don't got to go through them. You know what I mean? We have the best record in the league. I think we're going to keep on rolling, but essentially, you know, things could get bad and we still end up getting the number one seed in the NFC. We're going to keep rolling. I'm not worried about the Bills. I'm not worried about the Niners. I'm not worried about the Cowboys. I'm not worried about the Seahawks. I think we're going to keep on rolling, bro. So we are the gauntlet.
We are the ones that knock.
Exactly.
I like that. No, I do like that, man. Now, if you see below the bird schedule, we have, you know, the week 9, Cowboys, one of the top teams out there. We got the W. The week 10, we got the much needed bye. Jalen Hurts looks great. Week 11 against the Chiefs. Week 12, the Bills, the Niners, Cowboys, Seahawks. So I think in terms of teams that, like, you know, we talked about the Chiefs kind of being our litmus test in the sense that we know how good a team they are. I love what I saw against them. I think we got to clean some things up. Obviously, they have to clean some things up, but you saw two of the best teams in the league go at it on Monday Night Football in some crazy conditions a little bit. It was windy, rainy, but overall, I like what I saw.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, you can't beat it. I mean, like they put everything together. They put everything in together at the right time, and that was just a great feeling. I mean, like, bro, today I just been all talk at the job. We had a group meeting early this morning, and I started off with the meeting with, you know, I mean, coming in with my chest all up and just letting them know, nah, and one, baby. Yeah. You know what I mean? So it felt great. It felt great going in there talking shit. There's only one Kansas City fan at my job. And, you know, he came up to me. He was like, yo, hell of a game. And I agree with him. It was definitely a hell of a game. But
yeah,
it just felt good pulling off that W.
And to think about, sorry to cut you off, but just to think about how one of the big things that has been said, you know what, both this year and last year when we were rolling in the same fashion was, oh, well, you know, we haven't fully clicked. We haven't played a full game of football. And I agree. I don't think as of right now we have seen the best Eagles football yet. But that in itself should be something that's positive because we just went up against the reigning Super Bowl champs. We just went up against who everyone thought is, you know, arguably the best team or second best team to us in the NFL. And we, to be honest with you, played like shit for three quarters, but we still won the game. We are that good of a team that we are able to overcome any sort of bad decisions we make in a game. We're able to stay in the game with whatever our opponent is, and we're able to pull it out when it's most important in the fourth quarter. So
I like that. Now, I mean, obviously, you know, we've been in our feels, the positive feels, but just being realistic, some of the negatives that you saw out there, what are some of the negatives that you saw from the Eagles win over the Chiefs?
I think one thing that a lot of people were, especially the people out there that are complaining to AJ Brown about his fantasy football performance. I think that there was people that were concerned about, you know, him not really making much of an impact on that game. But I think with all the weapons that we have, with Smitty out there, with DeAndre Swift, we're able to get it done in any which way. So, that was definitely, you know, not a positive.
Look at Robert's obby right there. That is like the most proudest. Can I say that? The most proud obby I've seen in a long time. He says Jalen Hurts' road record as a starter is otherworldly. He's tremendous. Like, you could keep on just making stats with Jalen because they all look crazy. Like his, what was his stat? Like his 10-point comeback. Like, is probably, I'm screwing this stat up. I'm not gonna even say it. It's just a great stat. Like,
just look at his last, I don't know, like 30 games, whatever it is that he's played. What's he like, 28-2 or something in his last 30 games? Insane.
Now this stat right here, Chiefs were 62-6 under Andy Reid when leading by 10 or more points at halftime, and are 65-8 under Reid when leading going into the fourth quarter. Talk about a team that is pretty dominant.
Was that 62-65 just added on after our win? Or
I think I changed.
Or I'm sorry, the 6-8 added on after our win?
I think so.
Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah, I mean, shit, that's a great record to have against us. But I'm glad that it didn't play a factor on, you know, the win that we had on one day. Usually when they throw out those type of stats, you know, it's hard to go up against, but, you know. And we know it's difficult to beat Andy. You know what I mean? Uncle Red's got mad love from us Philly fans.
Off the bye, no less. I mean, everybody.
Right, exactly.
Andy off the bye as well.
It's definitely hard to pick up a win against Andy after a bye in Kansas City. And, you know, it just being Andy.
Undefeated.
Andy owns us. Andy definitely owns us. I think another stat I saw that is he was 7-0, four with Kansas City, three with us, you know, as he was coaching us, and you know that came to an end. So, you know, still big ups to Andy. Andy's still the man. You know, what I mean, he's still got love. And we said that going into Kansas City. Like, if you guys remember when we landed, and as we're walking around, I'm like, normally when we go into those rivalry cities, we had that hatred being in that city, but we didn't feel like that. And, you know, again, I think the what helps the situation is the love the Kelce brothers have, you know what I mean? Travis and Jason being with each other, one playing for Kansas City, one playing for the Eagles. It had nothing to do with the whole Taylor Swift. That's just all brand new stuff that people are just trying to throw into the
And Andy also, in a lot of Eagles fans' minds, like, he doesn't have the Chip Kelly effect. We're like, right. Eagles fans despise Chip Kelly. Andy Reid left, and there's still a lot of love for Andy Reid in Philadelphia for all his time that he spent here. It's not like he is one of the hated coaches of the past. We are very proud to have had Andy Reid. And
you guys are also missing out on one other person that brings everyone together.
Taylor Swift.
Mama Kelsey.
Shout out to Mama Kelsey who it was weird.
You gonna show Prime? Which picture are you gonna show? Go ahead.
It's weird because both like I saw Mama Kelsey walk by when we were in the airport and I was like, damn. I said, that'll be awesome if you get a photo with Mama Kelsey. And then these two mugs.
It would have been awesome, but he didn't get the photo. We did.
So
all we kept on getting was the text like, yo, you know what I mean? I'm here. I've been here since 8:30. You know what I mean?
7:50. 7:50.
Okay. 7:50.
We gotta talk about that part.
I'm the first in line. You know, I'm always on time and I don't care. And then what I said, Evan, sometimes being late pays off, you know.
Gail texts us at 7:50 in the morning going, yo, where you guys at? We're like, what are you talking about? And he's just like, I'm here in line. I'm like, it said to be there at 9. Wondering where you guys are at.
I'm just
that's fair, and
what tone was that? It was just like, hey, where y'all at? You guys on your way? That's all it was. Not like I'm first in line. I'm
not saying you were saying it like you were first in line, but it was more of like a where you guys at type thing.
This trip by far was probably one of the top three trips I've had with you guys. Like it was a great freaking time from the dinner. From last night, from the time we got there, like it was some off the chain shit. And then, you know what I mean? It topped it off with the W, me shit talking. Like, you know, I was acting like a fool regardless. Like you said, Evan, I wanted to get back off the bus just to keep on talking shit. Like, it's just in me to just keep doing it. Like, I had a great time, man. Big ups.
Yeah, we got to tell them about our breakfast on. Hello.
This is my chunky soup moment with Mama Kelsey. I was like, all right, well, I'm not going to get a photo with Mama Kelsey. So, cool.
We saw her twice.
Like, go get your picture with her. Go ahead. I was like,
why don't we all get a photo with Mama Kelsey? They're like, nope, go ahead. You get your photo with Mama Kelsey. I said, bro, why don't we just all get a photo with Mama Kelsey? I was like...
She was serving the grossest soup ever. After she was serving mucus outside of the stadium.
We ate it though.
Yeah, it was warm.
She definitely looked like she didn't even want to be there to serve it. Like
she probably doesn't, man. I don't blame her for collecting her bag right now, bro. She's got her moment in fame, and you might as well capitalize on it, dude.
Absolutely, man.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Let's see. Any more negatives here?
Yes, I wanted to bring up, not game related, I wanted to bring up our breakfast that me and Gail had at the bagel shop.
at the bagel shop? Wow.
Yeah, it was when you and Hollis were working out the one day.
Oh, we went to the gym.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah. Right. And so we ended up, me and Gail are just looking for a spot to go get food. And like we end up asking this lady that was working out. First of all, we got to also preface the fact that, yo, it is some full on... just what's the word, plagiarism, along those lines. That, you know how Xfinity Live exists in Philadelphia? They have a Kansas City Live down there that is like, it's like an exact replica type thing, except it's just same open thing. Air. Yeah, it's the exact same thing. And so we asked the lady out front of there, like, you know, where's there a good spot to get breakfast? And she directs us to this bagel shop around the corner. And instantly, right away, I'm thinking, bagel shop in Missouri, huh? Okay. And so we go over to the bagel shop, and Oscar the Grouch was working behind the counter, bro.
Yo, this is the first time I'm hearing about this.
Bro, the most miserable person, I think. Kansas City was full of the nicest people that I know. And it was full on Oscar the Grouch behind the fucking counter, bro. And not to mention that, like, the bagels... bro, they were pretty ass. I'm not gonna lie. It was not a New York bagel. And apparently, like, I thought when you order a bagel, it was standard that it would come toasted. They just give me like some, you know, semi room temperature ass, hard ass bagel with nothing on it. What do they call a schmear? A schmear.
Put schmear on it. I was like, what is schmear? I'm just like, can I get some just cream cheese on it? But then the lady was so upset. I was like, I could see her frowning through the mask. I was like, I'm not a person who will go to somebody's, like, you know, give this them a bad review.
For Yelp review.
So I was like, yo, I just want to make sure that I'm not the only one in the comments or reviews feeling the same way. So I found a couple. I was like, yeah, see, I'm not wrong. But the coming from, you know, I work in New York City, so the bagels are kind of elite. Not that, you know, it just was a shit bagel. Great barbecue.
Shit bagel.
So that was a big time negative. But Conrad says still not 100% on the offensive play calling. Those consecutive screen throws threw me off. Did you like the screen pass to Swift though? The little Texas route, little angle route. I thought it was kind of nice.
That was nice. But I do understand what Conrad's talking about. There was a succession of screenplays that just were going absolutely nowhere. And I was sitting there like, what the hell are we doing? We're just banging our heads against the wall.
Look at Mo Love.
The one to Julio. That was definitely like one that I was just like, what the hell is going on? I mean, especially and then in the situation that we were in at the time. I thought we were lined up in the beginning of plays. I thought we were lined up to our advantage. And we were like all pretty much screaming. Like we had some one-on-one times. Mm-hmm. We had, you know, Devontae on probably their weakest link. We didn't take advantage of those moments. And so then we're questioning what is Brian Johnson, you know, thinking. Like it was set up to look like a big play, but then became one of the stupidest plays. And that was the frustrating part. That really was frustrating.
And Mo Love says Jalen Hurts has now won 13 straight games against teams with winning records. That is the longest streak by QB in NFL history.
I'm assuming that's regular season wins because we're less than 13 games removed from the Super Bowl. So
not bad. Adrian says my biggest concern was the line play in general, both sides. You think about, you know, us being stout against the run. That was kind of, but then Chris Jones, my thing is like Chris Jones is a beast. It's not like just any normal guy. That guy can, you can move him all over the field. Anytime that you see Lane Johnson giving up a sack, that rarely happens.
Yeah, but that was a negative for me, man, because, I mean, Lane Johnson, listen, he has played himself to such a standard that when he does get beat, it kind of, like, raises my eyebrow. Like, I you know, I'm not by any means discounting or do anything about what Lane Johnson does. I think he is our only and best option at right tackle. But to watch him get beat, it was kind of shocking because this is a guy that went consecutive years without giving up a single sack. And it kind of looked like Chris Jones was having his way with him. So
he's a monster though.
Chris Jones is a monster, but he's gone up against him in the past and gotten the better of him. So it was like kind of one of those things. I'm like, is Lane Johnson starting to show his age a little bit?
With that being said,
during that game, Fletcher Cox, in my opinion, was showing his age, bro.
But there were
several plays. Fletch didn't play his best game.
But I did see him on a one-on-one, like, totally jack up their starting left guard and put him in, like, Mahomes' lap on that one of the last plays. I do feel at the end of the fourth quarter – they turned on a switch, and it was like the National Geographic, where it was like, there he is in the water. And then the Lions just come up and start attacking. And I think Sweat was more upset that he didn't get the sack on that play on the very end. But again, talk about that closing ability, the closer. Sweat comes in when you need him. I did like the fact that Hassan came in and set the tone. That is always my favorite thing. When Hassan hits you early, it sets the tone. One thing I do want to point out is I would like to see this side come up with some more nickel blitzes. If you could see the way that the Chiefs played us and McDuffie blitzing off the edge and started manufacturing like pressure that wasn't there. I was watching I rewatched it again with the Manning brothers and Peyton Manning talking about Jalen Hurts leaving the pocket too early on a couple of these plays. So, I mean, I think that's a great thing that Spagnuolo does. But, like, I think if you add a couple of those wrinkles, that would be nice.
And when we think about, like, I know that we always hail Andy as a great play caller, very creative offensive mind. Dude, I was getting dizzy out there just in the stands, man, with all of the pre-snap motion that was going on. There was a lot. There was a lot of two guys kind of moving in synchronization pre-snap for Andy Reid's play calls. And, dude, like, I think that was what was throwing us off a lot in the first half. We adjusted to it. Desai was able to adjust to it in the second. But it's definitely one of those things to keep in mind, you know, as we potentially could see them again this year. And also, I would like to see the Eagles take a page out of Andy's book in that respect.
Yeah, I'm with you on that.
Wealthy Mind says, apparently the Eagles are the first team to beat the Chiefs with Mahomes as a starter in Arrowhead during the months of November and December. A lot of firsts. I like it.
Not bad. What was your guys' overall thought on Arrowhead, the stadium?
It was definitely a nice stadium. I know we talked to some fans about the fact that it is somewhat of an ancient stadium, but it's well kept. The guy said that they kind of updated like every couple years, and it showed. As we took a nice good walk around the stadium. Oh, and by the way, just so you know, they kicked Gail out of the walking area because he was carrying a book bag because he looked like he was suspicious.
He was there.
Yo, we had to walk the outskirt.
Out.
yeah, get you out. Can you go to the sidewalk?
You just reminded me. So there was this guy that we saw outside the stadium right after Gail got yelled at for his backpack. And so to think about Philadelphia, think about the Philadelphia fan, and you think about the vet, you remember that the vet had a jail inside of it.
Yeah.
Do you know what the Chiefs had outside of their stadium? Like, I'm telling you, in the same parking lot, it was a church.
They had a church
literally directly outside of the stadium.
They had a church.
This is the church that the Chiefs have outside of their
chapel.
It's crazy. That was kind of crazy.
And there was this Eagles fan that was pointing out that juxtaposition of just like, we have a jail, they have a church. Like, it's we're not the same.
And people were taking photos in front. We ended up taking a photo in front of the chapel.
The chapel, yeah.
Very, 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 very nice touch. There's a question here. Well, Adrian brings up, with Quez coming off IR, they opened up the 21-day window for Quez. But with Quez coming off IR and AJ getting more and more attention, I'd hope we can start spreading the ball out to other receivers now. It's just been AJ and Devontae. You know, I think what Quez brings just by being on the field is the field stretcher ability. I think, again, I don't know where they stand and where his role is at these days. But like if they, you know, need to stretch the field, get, you know, especially with the four wide looks that we're going in the 10 personnel. Okay. You know, cause if we're going to have four guys on the field,
I understand that the four wide receiver one, that's easy, but, there's three wide receivers on the field. Who's the third wide receiver? You guys rather see out there, Julio or Quez?
Julio.
Yeah, I really just it depends on if you have some kind of look that you're trying to get out of or a mismatch you're trying to get. But I'd rather right now I'll take Julio. It's more because my thing is with Quez, even though I made you some customs, you got to bring your A game. Mm-hmm. You got to bring your A game. There's no other. We're trying to win games. So just bring your A game, bro.
Yep. Bob's surprised the dogs aren't sniffing me out in the stadium.
Yo, Unabomber.
Got to know where to put the shit, bro.
Unabomber looking hippie.
Tim Perkins asks, what's the thoughts on Shaq Leonard? He just cleared waivers. We saw in the – when we were originally going through the airport, I I saw just his tweet that he put out, and it had seemed, I thought he had retired like midway through the year with that, like, you know, thank you message and all that. And I, after a little bit further look, and they released him. Dude, I mean, the connection with Sirianni, he was coached by him in Indy. You know, we love our defensive line depth. It all adds up to me that, like, the Eagles at least take a swing at him. What do you guys think?
Now, an hour breaking news. Breaking news from Adam Schefter. This was an hour ago. He said Colts three-time all-pro linebacker Darius Shaquille Leonard cleared waivers today per source. He's now a free agent. Teams expected to have some level of interest include the Philadelphia Eagles and the Dallas Cowboys. I don't know if that's his agent putting that out there, or is that, you know, some real deal Holyfield stuff?
And I don't mean to be, listen, I want to go get Leonard and see what he's got in him. But, like, I also, the first name that came to mind when I saw this happening, and, like, there's a reason why teams release guys midway through the year. Like, they're under contract. I kind of thought about Robert Quinn. I'm not going to lie. Like, I was hyped to get Robert Quinn when we got him from the Bears. And then he did jack shit. He didn't do a fucking thing. And so, like,
putting the jack in front of the shit is even too much. He didn't do shit.
He didn't do anything. Well, and so I kind of am looking at that. And I'm like, listen, is it the name that's getting us excited, or does he actually have something left in the tank? Regardless, well, I mean, I'd be willing to take a flyer on him, kick the tires, see what it's about. But
I've known him as Darius Leonard all these years. You know, I mean, the whole Shaq thing, I'm not really a fan of. But, you know, I think Leonard, regardless, is just he's clutch and he's had a great career. He's played, you know, for the Colts for so many years and he's done his thing. So, yeah, the name definitely is big. I mean, it's just like when Julio signed with us, you know, Julio's name is big. You know what I mean? So, these names definitely play a factor. But it's like you just mentioned, you know, before you in the beginning of your comment, was they let him go for a reason. And it's a reason that we're not seeing. It's a reason they may be seeing. So,
well, I watched his presser with the Colts media. He also had a joke. He said, I'm like Craig out here. How you get fired on your day off? but he said that he didn't see it coming. He didn't understand why he got released. He felt like as a leader, he added great value to the players in front of him. Mm-hmm. He felt like he wanted more playing time. But I feel like it's almost like the perfect scenario for us. Like, we're talking about Morrow and, like, you know, Darius Leonard. Who would you rather have? You'd have Leonard. I think from the money standpoint, if I got to see the contract, but I was talking to Todd earlier.
Well, he's released this and we have to pick up their money, or were we just sign a new contract?
Yeah, well, he's also getting paid from the Chiefs. Right. I mean, from the Colts. And now he can just, you know. So I think depending on where he wants to, if he wants to play for a contender, not a chicken tender, but a contender, he plays for the Eagles. Chicken tenders, he plays for the Cowboys. So I feel like, hey, what better scenario to land in
than
with the Eagles?
No, I agree with you. And I also want to just throw out, too, that I don't know exactly what his skill level is at precisely right now. But I did see something after he got released that the dude's a world-class human, bro. I mean, he just got released and he was out there handing out turkeys in Indianapolis to families in need immediately after losing his job. And I give the man all the credit in the world for that. I mean, that's a good person.
Wealthy Minds calling it now. Shaq will be a Bird. Sirianni connection coupled with Steichen leaving Philly on good terms. Calling it here.
Yeah. So Wealthy Mind brings up Dean. I wouldn't say he can't be worse than Dean, but I will say that in the absence of Dean, it's definitely something that we should consider.
Robert says, if anything, get Leonard to keep him from Dallas.
I agree with that.
Keep Dallas from getting drafted by Dallas in Dallas. Now,
he's only 28?
Yeah.
What? He's young. Dude, man. I feel like he's been in the league for like 10 years.
I know, man. He's been playing for a long time, but he's only 28 years old.
Now, Robert brings up the thought, deep thoughts with Robert Morris. He says, I don't think Jalen trusts Quez, though. Notice Jalen only targets whom he really trusts. How many times has Quez ran the wrong route or took a bad angle or worse yet, missed blocks? A lot of Jalen targets boil down to trust. And again, I don't see anything wrong. That's where your relationship with your quarterback, that's where it really comes down to. The quarterback can trust you. If I throw it up, I know you're going to be in the right spot. Any quarterback that I had in our relationship, I would just like, if I would just throw a finger or I'd be in the huddle like, throw that motherfucker up. I'm going to catch it. And then with that quarterback, that relationship is very key. But Jalen and Quez are really like best. They're really good friends.
Right.
They really have a great relationship. But I just think.
Real quickly to go back to Leonard before we move off of that entirely. We brought up the, I just want to clarify, $6 million still owed to him this year, but that is due to him from the Colts. Like any that team that picks him up, they get to decide, well, they get to negotiate what the contract will be and what they will be paying.
So it's probably $6 million plus that.
Yeah, exactly. So that $6 million will be coming from the Colts regardless, plus whatever money he gets in the new deal that he signs.
In layman's terms, Ursay is a dipshit.
Yes.
Bob from down under. I don't know why he likes treating his players or the perception of the way that his players are being treated. Like this guy is like, this would be like throwing like Malcolm Jenkins to the wind mid season. Not just saying like if play wise, but like what he means to a team wise.
Or like trading away your all time leading rusher and trading away one of the best wide receivers we ever had in consecutive years. Like that type of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They've learned.
Thanks for taking us back down memory lane.
Without those moves, I don't think because you think about.
Yeah, it, I mean, you're right. A lot of the moves that were made.
I've said without Chip Kelly, we don't have Doug Peterson, man. And without Doug Peterson, we don't have the Super Bowl.
Lucy agrees with that.
Yeah, that spike interception would have been ridiculous.
Harold says the Jalen Carter with will get a spike interception soon. If you guys can see it, see a lot of people don't really know that you can go to YouTube. A lot of people do know. I'm just joking, but you can go to YouTube and find anything. And the fact that Jalen Carter said he saw it in a high school game, he felt like he could try and bring this move out into an NFL
game,
and it almost worked. It almost worked. Robert asks, where would Desai play Leonard though? I do not want to mess with Cunningham Morrow tandem. I guess I'd say probably Morrow.
Yeah, I mean, listen, the Cunningham Morrow tandem is definitely clutch right now, but you throw Leonard into the mix, it's not a bad thing. I think they could go ahead and definitely figure out a way to go ahead and get him into the mix. I mean, the man knows how to play the position, so I don't think we have a problem there.
You think Miles Jack is regretting his decision yet?
Gail mentioned to me the other day that Miles Jack was just
Steelers.
Coming in for a
Steelers. Yeah. Yeah. Well, I don't think
he broke his pipe wrench, so he has to.
I don't think Jack wanted to compete over here. He's like, yeah, I'm gonna ride on the bench.
You're going like what kind of fucking
Miles Jack?
Who is that?
He's been starting all these years and being the guy, and some guys don't coming off the bench is no, not.
Nah, I'm glad we don't have him because if I can't start, I'm gonna become a plumber. Fuck you, bro.
Let's see. Shout out to Donnie. He says, "Wish I could have linked up with y'all at the game Monday. I tried to get a pick with Howie during warmups, and he stiffed me. Broke my damn heart, but I get it from his point of view. Glad we were able to pull out the ugly dub and that nonstop missed all night. But our big players made big plays when it mattered the most. Fly, Eagles, fly." Shout out to you, Donnie.
Shout out to you for reading all that, bro.
Yeah, man.
I didn't feel it.
Reading Rainbow over here, man. I just think Howie's never really stiffed me. Like, I feel like we've had moments where I, like, dap him up, shake his hand, always talk to him a couple times. And then one, like, my boy Jay Gleckner, he had a photo of Sports Illustrated. It said, this is how we do, or it said Howie something. It was on Sports Illustrated, so the cover. She's like, if you ever see Howie and you can get this signed, like, I need it for the man cave. I'm like, all right, just give it to me. Then we were at the Eagles Autism Challenge. He's like, so he gives me, he's like, I got two in there for you. So one for you too. I'm like, all right, well, cool. So then I go to Howie. I'm like, yo, Howie, here you go. Sign this. He's Howie's like, yeah, this is first. He was like flexing. He's like, I look good. So then he signs it. And then I was like, oh, can you sign this other one? He's like, man, you got one already. I was like, Howie. So I tell Jay, I'm like, yeah, you only signed one, but here, you know, you take it. It's all good. He's a good dude, man. He has fun with people.
Yeah, I mean, I got Howie's autograph on the Super Bowl hat, so I'm good. I'm all right.
Yo, if Howie keeps doing the things that he's doing, I don't care if he comes and spits on my door, bro. He could fucking just keep doing what you're doing, dog. No, but I also want to talk about something that I saw online, and I don't know what it is, man. But like, why does Andy Reid hate good wide receivers? Like, I was thinking about like T.O. Like, we had T.O. for a year and a half, 2 years, and then that obviously went south. And then he has Pat Mahomes, who is the quarterback of the generation, paired with the wide receiver of the generation, and Tyreek Hill, and he lets Tyreek Hill go to Miami. What he like, and now you see how Pat Mahomes, like, last year he was able to make do with what he had, and he threw over for over 5,000 yards, but eventually, you know, you got to give him some help around him. What? And he has just trek, bro. Like, his wide receivers are god off. Who even is their wide receiver one? Is it MVS?
Rasheed Rice.
Rasheed Rice, the rookie?
Yeah, he's good. Like, no, he's
decent, bro.
No, we're talking about rookie.
Yeah.
For a rookie, he's having a good year.
But that's his wide receiver one, bro. Like, Rasheed Rice will be wide receiver three or four on our team. That's their wide receiver one.
Yeah, I mean, it is what it is.
Pat Mahomes is throwing to. Like, I'm just saying, like,
yeah.
Dude,
I mean,
I'm not trying to be extra and like embellish a lot here, but like, you pair up Pat Mahomes and Tyreek Hill for their whole careers, bro, that's like Manning fucking Rice. Or I'm sorry, that's Montana Rice territory, bro.
But what I'm saying is Tyreek Hill, where he wanted to get paid, he wasn't gonna have the ability to get paid. Without, you know, because you got Travis Kelce, and you have Patrick Mahomes, the top at their position. Tyreek Hill was going to be top at your position. You can't afford them all. So what they did,
bro.
You went and got Sky Moore. They tried to get Sky Moore. They dabbled there. They're kind of a miss. Yeah. When I was on the Aero Addicts podcast, I said, "Yo, your wide receivers besides Rasheed Rice are just a bunch of Jags." And that's exactly what we saw. I mean, Kadarius Toney, you know, that's first round talent they took a gamble on. Good on special teams.
Yeah.
Trickery, but as a receiver, a lot of drops.
I was getting pissed, man. I was telling Evan, I'm not trying to see this little shit kill us. And he was killing us.
Yeah. They brought Mecole Hardman back. But again, they have to draft another.
They definitely do. But like, to your point, like, you talk about how, you know, he's top of his position. He's going to get paid like that. That sounds a lot like the fucking T.O. thing that I was just talking about. Like, T.O. was top of his position. He didn't pay him. And he said, oh, we got fucking Stinkston and we got Thrash. Dude, like, this is exactly why you invest in that wide receiver. I get that it's a lot of money, but it's what gives you the option to win. I don't know. It's not my team, so I don't care that much. But
I think you can't have top guys at all those positions. I think it's just too much. I mean, you also have Chris Jones. There's a lot of big money dudes that were there that got paid.
You gotta find a happy medium, bro.
You gotta draft. I mean, that's where you always have to do is you have to go to the draft and hit on players. Look at Tank Dell. We talked about how many times we talked about Tank Dell during the draft. Process. Now he's killing it. A mid-round wide receiver that's now you go back in the second or third.
Who's that?
Tank Dell for Houston.
Yeah, I think he was third round.
Right now he's killing it, and that's how you get better. But I'm glad to see it, Ev. I'm not bummed about it.
I'm just confused, bro, because I feel like I've seen this all before. It's just history repeating itself. Robert Morris pulls. Wow.
Oh, hold on. This one?
It's Evan's turn.
Are you saying this one?
I don't know. It's not popping up on the screen for me. No, that's not what I was saying. I'm saying this one. How he's talking about this offseason trading for George Pickens. That is interesting.
George Pickens, man. It feels like
free George Pickens.
He's not happy.
Nor should he be. I mean, he's got Kenny Pickett thrown to he's hey, a Ferrari chilling.
They got rid of their offensive coordinator. Things might change.
Yeah.
Do you know what was up with that? Like I haven't been following the Steelers close, but like why did they like what was the visceral hate for everybody for the offensive coordinator? Like the kicker openly sports, fucking shit on him.
All sports platforms, you know what I mean, hockey, basketball, or college, or even out of staters were like screaming for this guy to get fired. And then when they announced it yesterday, it was like such a big deal. Like I didn't even hear nothing about it. Like we're not Steelers fans, so you know we wouldn't be paying attention to shit like that, but there's a lot of history supposedly behind this Canada guy getting fired.
Dude, they hated him. And I'm just sitting there looking at it like, okay, he might have been doing a bad job, but ultimately Kenny Pickett's his quarterback, bro. Like you're asking this guy like
and they mentioned that it wasn't Tomlinson that fired him. It was the VP of the organization that fired him.
Okay.
So it was just like, I don't know. It's just something, there's still a story out there.
Hey, man, I put out on Twitter last week that I think that Tomlin should be in the running for Coach of the Year because there's no way that Steelers team should have the record that it does currently.
Screw the Steelers.
Okay. But
we don't care about the Steelers. Fuck them. Like JJ said. Anthony says, Anthony from the Northwest Bird Gang, who we'll be seeing out there for the Philly Sports Trips tailgate. They're partnering up with the crew out there. He says, what's going to be the best weekend to come out to Philly? I got to make a trip this year. I'd say NFC Championship guy.
I like that.
Try to get bang for your buck.
And you'll be plenty of buck, but you'll get a bang.
Standing room only ticket. Have at it. Let's see. Any other comments? Evan out here clowning cowboy content creators that can't Photoshop. Love it.
I put an open invitation out there. I'm charging $100 an hour for Photoshop lessons. You want to make better than shit ass memes? I'll teach you. I don't care who you're a fan of, but I'm sick of seeing these low effort ass memes, bro.
Well, you gonna start doing some memes for us?
Yeah, I mean, what are you looking for?
we could use some memes. Holler at your player. Holler at your boy. Let's see. Shout out to Hollis Thomas and Mal Davis. Hollis was a trip. We went to the World War I Museum. This guy was standing in a tank. I think he fell in love with the tank.
Yo, he was standing in front of a tank and he made the tank look small.
He made the tank look small for sure. Yes, he did. Let me see. I'm trying to get the picture up right now.
Corey Lewis says Ron Jaworski said it was AJ's fault. What's he talking about? Look at that guy. Holy shit, he did make it look small.
I told you. We got a tank that's bigger than the tank.
Now, shout out to Philly Sports Trips. Like I said, putting together really great trips this year. We really have been on some really memorable trips this year. If you're trying to look for a trip, the next coming trip is going to be the Dallas trip that me and Prime will be going on. We wish Evan was and his bosses would get together and have a meeting on giving him more vacation days. But if you're looking to book a trip, PhillySportsTrips.com, look for the packages that they have on there. But shout out to Philly Sports Trips and Go Birds. We will be having our tailgate at the home game against the Bills this Sunday. Pretty geeked out about that. It's been a while.
Kelly Green is back.
Should we also drop the news about Christmas too, just so people can make their plans accordingly?
Christmas tailgate. We thought we would not be degenerates and actually
spend some time with our families.
Spend time with the families because we've been on the road.
So if you are going to the Christmas game, highly recommend the Philly Sports Trips tailgate.
They're actually not having a tailgate either.
Yeah. Oh, they're not.
Bob is. Bob is actually putting a mean breakfast together for that game. So if you guys want to go check him out.
Bob Kavanaugh.
Yeah, we could definitely go ahead and get your details. But yeah, it's all about, you know, the fact, like Gail said, we want to go ahead and spend time with our families. You know what I mean? Me, on the other case, you know what I mean? I got threatened if I don't spend time with my family. So that's the situation. That's the situation I was gonna.
Well, speaking of kids, we are going to be teaming up again with the Goofy Gators. They give back to families with kids with autism, and we're going to doing a toy drive. If you want to know how you can help us out with the toy drive, or, you know, help collect toys, we're going to start probably for the 49ers game. We're going to have a box out there, a tree out there that you can leave some toys, and we. For the last couple of years, we've been killing it, teaming up with Karate Mark as well. Just getting a bunch of toys for the kids. Can't go wrong with that. If you want to know how you can get involved, shoot us a DM. You want to help us with this? Cool. It's more the merrier. And it's, again, it's for the kids, which is always cool on Christmas. Always cool on Christmas.
Evan's cat.
Lana said,
went up like, no.
Lana said, bring your ass home. Get me some catnip. Now, for Thanksgiving this year, you know, it's always a time
You definitely deserve it.
It's always a time to be thankful. Now, which I say, we'll go offensive defense. Which player are you most thankful for on offense this year?
Him, number one. I mean, it all comes and goes through Jalen Hurts, man. We don't have a Super Bowl competing roster without Jalen Hurts. He's proven to be he's sitting right now as the odds on favorite to win the MVP of the league. He is the leader of the best team in the NFL. It's Jalen Hurts for me, man.
I like that one, and that's definitely going to be the key one to go with. And I'm going to actually go with your boy that you mentioned earlier, man. I'm grateful, really grateful for the field positioning that Covey has been putting us in, the step up.
Oh, look at you!
Yeah, man, the step up in him this year. Like, you know, last year as he was getting the ball kicked to him and he's getting ready to go ahead and
– He was getting pummeled too.
Bro. He was getting pummeled. It was scary. This year – No worries whatsoever, man. Catch that ball and really excited to see what he's going to go ahead and do. So that's my guy.
Now we got we're getting love from Liz and Anthony and let's see, Robert with Robert also with the Kelsey. Shout out to Liz. So she says she's ready to help with that's awesome, Liz.
That'd be awesome.
Appreciate that.
I'm going to go offensive-wise. I think I'm very thankful for Jalen Hurts, man. Just what he brings to the table. It's like he's like the calm before the storm. Like he adds that that value that you can't you can't even pay for that kind of it's just like what it is, extra bonus with Jalen. He just has that in him always. They talked about the players were right during halftime, all the leaders, you know, kept them all calm. All the captains on the team were super calm. And they came out and put in that work. So defensive, who on defense are you most thankful for this year?
I think defensively, it's definitely going to come from the line. I feel like for most people, I'm going to go outside the box too, actually, here. I think I'm going to go with Sean Desai. You know, last year, I really thought was our year, man. I thought that was the opportunity for us to win our second Super Bowl. And lo and behold, we had a defensive coordinator that was completely unfocused during the biggest game of the year. And he was busy thinking about his next gig in Arizona. And I look at Sean Desai, and I think it's a stark difference between the two of them. You know, Hollis said all of last year, and I gave him crap for it. I mean, he wanted Jonathan Gannon gone midway through the year as we were rolling on teams. And he was right in the fact that we were winning in spite of Jonathan Gannon. Our team was that good. We were winning in spite of them. If we had just a defensive coordinator that was dedicated and was in the moment, we would have won that Super Bowl, and I don't have any doubt about it. So to have Sean Desai here making halftime adjustments, shutting out the one of the best teams in the league in the second half in that matchup, that's who I'm thankful for.
Brian, did you give yours? You're on mute.
No, I haven't. I don't know. It's kind of hard to top that one. I mean, damn, like it was just like the perfect scenario. Like you're right. But the one thing I could maybe mention along with what Evan said is the adjustments, the second half adjustments. Mm-hmm. And then again, on Monday, he made the adjustments at the right time and it helped us get that victory. So that was something that we definitely needed. And I'm glad we're getting it out of him. So, I mean, a lot of people really ain't giving him the credit that he, you know, deserves, but it's cool. I get it. I understand. You know, we still question a couple things, but that second half adjustments is key. And then look at this right here. I mean, Cowboys scored 17 before halftime, 6 after halftime. Chiefs scored 17 before halftime, 0 after halftime. All right. And it could keep on going all the way through with the rest of the games we got. You know what I mean? We got good competition coming up this Sunday against the Bills. Then we got the 49ers. And then, you know, we back to the Cowgirls. So, I mean, it's just like, hey, I get it. I guess I don't know if that's his scheme to see what it's like in the first half and then control it in that first half, make whatever adjustments he needs to in the second half. I'm all for it.
I'm going to stick to a player. I'm just going to say, you know, when we lost Javon Hargrave, I was like, you know what, I really don't want to pay older players like that, and what he got paid, I didn't want to pay. Not like it's coming out of my paycheck, but in my mind, you always get younger and you get better through the draft. And the fact that we got Jalen Carter, that dude, you know, as much as we hyped him up during the pre-draft process, the fact that we didn't even think we could get a player like that, and the fact that he's keeping the integrity of our defense in the middle, you know, allowing, you know, Fletcher to get one-on-ones now, and he could take the double teams. So he's a guy that could beat double teams. Again, like, it's great. And, you know, a lot of people were in the comments saying Hassan Reddick, that would be my second. I think Reddick off the edge has been phenomenal. We're talking about how many sacks? We're talking about 8 sacks in the last how many games? He's turned it up a notch. Temple tough. Camden tough, whatever you want to say. Hey, I feel good. I feel good about where we're at right now.
I also got to be honest too, Anthony. You're a great guy. I love you, but I'm glad you're not the GM, because what are you on right now, bro?
He's a free Swift. Free Swift.
Nah, I think he's just talking about let Swift run. You know, he free Swift, release Swift. Yeah, yeah.
He said in a release the Kraken voice. That's what he said.
I got you. I took it as like we got to get rid of him. Like, dude, he's. What?
Prime knows movies, so he knows what voice I'm saying in there. Remember Release the Kraken?
Release the Kraken. I got it. I know what you're talking about.
Okay. Yep. But big plans for Thanksgiving?
I was going to be hanging out with the family. Actually, right after this, I'm going to be making a little dessert to bring home for the fam.
What is that going
to be? Now, hold on. Now that the fam is at a whole new level, what kind of desserts are we talking about here, buddy?
No, I know what you're talking about. And unfortunately, it's going to be a very mixed crowd tomorrow. We got the extended family coming through.
Okay. So
we can't be full on partying. But no, nah, just some simple, honestly, just some simple thing I found on Instagram. It's like cinnamon pecan shit.
So this we learned. Now that I know you drink red wine, mm-hmm. You bake pies too.
I actually do like bacon. I'm a big time baker. Yeah.
Wow, man.
I'm a big dessert guy.
This is like a whole nother episode we can have. You know, what I mean? Like, just getting it all out there, bro.
What else do you do that we don't know about?
Well, we can get into that off air.
I'm going to keep it traditional, man. I'm looking forward to catching up with my childhood boys. We play our traditional football game, so we'll be doing
what position are you playing?
Oh, I'm usually the guy. I'm the Hassan Reddick of the line, bro.
Okay,
yeah, talking shit too.
I'm the shit talking. You know what I mean? Yeah, yeah.
Man, thank God. Thank God for your knees, man. I'm praying for your knees, man.
Yeah. So, I mean, the good thing about it is after I'm done, I'll be going to my brother's to catch up with my mom and my brother and the family. And then after that, we'll be heading over to the in-laws, chilling over there, catching up with Autumn's dad. You know what I mean? He's been hyped up about the win on Monday night. So, you know, we're going to go ahead and talk about that. So, you know, just grubbing, man, grubbing on that turkey. I don't know. I don't even know if I'm going to really be eating like that because all the damn food we eat in KC, I'm still, like, trying to get through that shit, man.
Shout out to Kiki in the comments. You just might see her. That's my cousin. She's out here holding down Thanksgiving this year. So we're going to go over there. You know, have a great time. We'll bring some desserts.
Liz, yes, he does. He bakes and he drinks wines. All right. And, you know, anything you need to find out, we can go ahead and, you know, we can get you that info on Evan Hollywood Hearn. Okay.
Hey, thanks, Brian. Thanks.
Guys, had a great week. He had some seasoned, the most seasoned food of his life.
You keep on saying that.
You keep saying
I'm going to come right out and say it. Racist.
No, I'm just
racist. HR. Nope. You got to go to HR, bro.
The fourth is on HR because you're just saying because I'm white.
No, I say Kansas City.
Why are you saying that I haven't never had
the most? This is the most seasoned.
Say your explanation.
Kansas City barbecue. You've never been to Kansas City before.
You said I've never had seasoned food. Why?
No, I said you have. This is the most seasoned food you've had in your life,
as opposed to you, who has had more seasoned food than KC.
I went to Bama. Oh,
I never heard about Bama barbecue.
Go read the comments.
Let me just tell y'all the experience I had with these two on the plane yesterday was the laugh. Oh my god! Like my stomach was hurting. I couldn't stop. We had a moment. I'm not going front. It was a moment, but you know, I mean, if you stayed focused and just thought about other things, you weren't going to be focused on the situation we had. But we had a tremendous turbulence moment that freaked the shit out of Evan. And I mean, yo, I think his hand grips are still indented on that handle on the seats. Like, it was bad. And as I'm looking over, I'm like, holy shit, like, is Evan all right? But Gail just went extreme. I mean, he brought the phone out. He got the video. Flash and I don't think he meant to flash you, but when he flashed you, it was just like, oh, shit, no, he didn't. And it set the tone.
So this, before you jump in there.
Can I get to my point? Before we even took off, when we took off from Philly, we had crazy turbulence, right, when the takeoff. And I said, I'm not going to freak out unless I look over at Evan, who's usually gung-ho. And if Evan's freaked out, and I look over and Evan was, like, freaked out, and I was like, fuck, I'm freaked out now. So on the way back, this was this is the worst turbulence I've ever had in my entire life on any plane. Mm-hmm. And believe me, I just started flying again after being freaked out about flying. So I'm, like, in my feels. I'm, like, I'm drinking. I was like, let me just make – light of the moment, like to the point where we were like up, down, side to side, and I had a glass in my hand when it started. So the whole time I'm actually balancing this drink in my hand. So I was trying to get Evan to look at me to laugh, and I was like trying to drink it, and I couldn't drink it because we were going like this. So I spilled half of my cup in the aisle, and then Evan was just not moving. He was like,
so I'm gonna give you the play-by-play of what happened here. The turbulence started, and it was one of those turbulence events where the pilot asked the flight attendants to go sit down and strap in because we're gonna go through it. Full disclosure, I hate flying. Like I am not as much of a hater of flying as Gail, who will opt to drive down to Alabama, out to Detroit, all those things. I would rather fly, but when I'm up in the air, I fucking hate it, dude. My anxiety is through the roof until we are back on that ground, especially during turbulence like we had had. And yeah, Gale did. I saw out of the corner of my eye exactly what he was doing. He was messing around with the drink, and he was trying to make light of the situation.
Oh my God, I was about to die inside. I was like, so if I'm going to die,
yeah, he was fine with that. I will say that he tried saying to me afterwards that, oh, I was just trying to make you feel better. Let me ask you guys a question: when you are going through a moment of tremendous anxiety, does it make you feel better when someone puts a camera with a flash in your face? Just be real. Does that help you out? Because Gale, as a guy that I've known for the past 8 years, is a man with many anxieties. He doesn't like traffic. He doesn't like claustrophobia. I can go on. The list goes on. And now I'm waiting for the opportunity to see Gale's anxiety spiking, because I'm going to make sure that I get that camera in his face, and I don't want to hear anything about it, because it was funny, and I'm just trying to lighten the mood, right?
Well, I'm just going to let you know that you guys personally have helped me out with my anxiety mm-hmm. in flying. I'm being honest. Mm-hmm. When we got to the booth, when we got to the tarmac, and I was like, our pilot was like bullshitting on the mic. And like he started coming up with these random excuses, and I'm like, don't listen to what he's saying. We're going to be okay. It's going to be 5 minutes, 30 minutes later. Like, it's going to be 30 minutes. There's something to happen. They didn't hook something on the plane. I'm like, we're going to get stuck in here and we're going to die. But thanks to you guys, yeah. I'm okay.
Once we were on the ground, I could have stayed on that tarmac for 8 hours. I was just happy to be alive, bro. On the other hand,
I was enjoying the entertainment.
Yeah,
it was entertaining.
I'll even give credit to Bob too, Bob Cavanaugh, who we are getting tossed around this plane like a rag doll when that turbulence is hitting. And then Bob turns around and goes, "Hey, you guys want to start an Eagle chant?" I'm like, "Bob, shut the fuck up! I'm about to die."
Hey, yo. If we're gonna go down, we're gonna go down singing a chant.
I honestly was shook. I was just trying to get through those moments. I was just man.
I think the real funny part is that it happened, like it stopped, we were good, but then it happened again. And me and Gil at the same time pulled out our phones. I didn't do the flash, but Gil just—he just went overboard.
No, that was automatic flash. I didn't put that on.
Overboard, and I was like, "Oh."
Well, I apologize if you—I didn't know you were having a panic. I just thought you were
having one over there.
No, not just being like not a panic attack.
You thought the way I was gripping that seat, you thought that was me having fun? Okay, not
panic attack. I just thought you were just like.
He's trying to walk it back because he's afraid that I'm going to catch him in a vulnerable mode.
Hey, man.
I'm going to. Look, so, you know, it's cool. Hey, we can move on.
This is the trust tree hour. Like, yeah. I couldn't even ride on a bus like a couple months ago.
That's true.
How many bus rides have I been on?
Maybe I should have bullied you with a camera.
I would have never got on the bus. We would never had those moments. But it's like I said, as long as I got you guys around me, I feel good. See?
Overall, we'll bring it was it was a fun trip.
But yeah, I just want to, you know, thank you guys for all you people in the chat, all the comments, and we appreciate you guys down in the comments. And it's great meeting a lot of you guys in person. I tell you, always great to see people that actually listen to the show, because again, you don't know who listens or whatever, but at the end of the day, we appreciate you guys. But last word before we get out of here.
I'll start off, and just based off the conversation we just had, fuck the wind, bro. Why are you tossing me around a plane like that, bro? I fucking hate turbulence. No, but for real, I just want to say happy Thanksgiving to all of our listeners. I'm thankful for all of you guys, because without you, we wouldn't be doing Fourth and John for the past 7.5, going on 8 years. You know, I'm thankful to have you guys in the comment section, comment on all of our stuff. You know, interacting with all of our social medias, and overall just being good people and meeting you at the tailgates. I hope you all have a happy Thanksgiving with your families, and be safe. Get a fucking driver tonight. Call an Uber.
Yeah, facts. It's like I mentioned earlier in the show, man. This was the night that changed my life. This was the night that I met my wife. 10 years ago today.
Congratulations. So
definitely, yeah, definitely.
Is this your better half, as I would call it?
Is this the anniversary?
This is the anniversary of us
meeting. When they met.
Yes, when we met. Yeah, it was 10 years today from today. But yeah, it was definitely thankful for that. You know, my life has changed tremendously in the past 10 years in a great way. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I got two beautiful children out of it.
They got her looks, by the way. Thank God.
Yeah. Well, that's cool. I'm all right. I'm good with that. But yeah, man, definitely one of the greatest trips that I had by far with you guys. Kansas City was a great, great city. Very quiet. I mean, you could honestly shoot a scene of Walking Dead in that city. That's how dead the city was. But it was all right. It was cool. You know, we did our normal thing. We got around on the scooters. We had a great time with that. And, you know, me growing up in the hood, it was just like I'm constantly looking around. There was nothing in sight. So there was nothing to worry about. You could have crossed the street.
So many buildings, so few people, bro.
It's so many few people. And, like, and then again, it was just like the fact that we were there on a Monday, you would think that it was kind of busy and everything, but no, it was just like dead quiet. The food, tremendous. Breakfast, lunch, dinner, the evening dinner we had with Vince. Shout out to Vince for that. I mean, bro, I think I could say that every plate that I had cleared everything off those plates. So nothing definitely went to waste. Had a great time. Looking forward to the Dallas trip. Looking forward to getting with Philly Sports Trips again and all the fans. Thankful for all you guys for making all this possible. And, you know, it's all about giving back. So I'm looking forward to this Sunday, giving, you know, shooting, throwing down the tailgate, you know, what we do and, you know, keeping this this train riding, man, because we're 9-1 now. Looking forward to going to 10-1 on Sunday. So let's go. Go Birds.
Yeah. Now, shout out to Jeff in the comments. We met him at Slaps Barbecue. And your lovely partner, you being a Chiefs fan, like just to hear your story about like what your experience was like after the Super Bowl and you not having the right time to talk to her after because you were so upset. It was just cool to see that dynamic. Also, the love that y'all have, you know, y'all having season tickets to the Chiefs and being an Eagles fan
from Iowa, right?
Yeah. The fact that you got to be there this time and watch your Eagles win was very sweet. I'm glad that you have a better story after this game. So that's great for you guys, man. Appreciate y'all. But my last word, I mean, just appreciate you guys in the comment. Very thankful for you guys. Very thankful for the community that we have at the tailgates. Thankful for our families as well who support us doing all these crazy adventures. And thankful for you guys. Like I said, man.
Likewise.
You guys got me through a lot of stuff, a lot of the anxiety. Like, again, man, I can ride a bus now. I can get on a plane. It's just like – and the Eagles, man. Thankful for the Eagles, man. If the Eagles weren't around, I wouldn't be doing half this shit. They got me out of my box. It's been a great ride so far. Like, thinking about last season and combined with this season, we have seen a lot of dubs. This team's on the road to victory. We're only thinking onward and upward. We have a team that's, I think the mindset is correct and official, led by a great coaching staff. I think the talk about the front office, the coaching staff, and the players, the harmony is beautiful right now. Making beautiful music, top team in the NFL. We'll see you guys soon on Sunday. How about we get 10-1?
Let's go.
Gobble, gobble.
10-1. Having fun. See you guys in the next one. As always, fly, Eagles, fly.